What happens when a nation turns its back on God? When a nation doesn't honor God as God? What happens when a nation sets its own standards? What happens when a nation calls evil good and good evil? What happens then? Well, you can pick up the history of the Roman Empire and you can find out what happened when Rome turned their back on any fear of God at all. When Rome just went down the tube morally. Or you could go to the mall. You could go to a movie theater. You could turn on television. You could watch a group of young people having a party. You could turn on the internet and you can find out what happens when a nation turns their back on God. Where does it lead? That's what we're going to talk about today. So maybe we can turn the nation around. Today, we're in Romans chapter 1, and we're looking at what happens when men know God and they don't honor Him as God, and they become futile in their imaginations, in their speculations. It says in verse 22, professing to be wise, they became fools, and they exchanged the glory of an incorruptible God for an image in the form of corruptible man, of birds and four-footed animals and crawling creatures. Now remember, we saw last week that they exchanged three things. So when men don't honor God as God, they still have to worship a God. And so they change the image of God into an image made like man or creatures, and they begin to worship them. And when they do this, then God responds. God folds His arms, and it says, God, for this reason, it says, God gave them over to the lusts of their hearts, to impurity, that their bodies might be dishonored among them. When we turn away from truth, when we call evil good and good evil, when we exchange truth for a lie, what happens is the first thing we find is we find ourselves giving ourselves over to impurity and dishonoring our bodies. Do you realize that sex outside of the confines of marriage, sex outside of marriage dishonors your body? That every time that you have sex and you're not married to that person, you are dishonoring your body. God says in Hebrews chapter 13 in verse 4 that marriage is honorable in all and the bed undefiled, but fornicators and adulterers God will judge. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 4, He says, this is the will of God, even your sanctification, that you abstain from sexual immorality. You see, when I say, God, you really aren't who you say you are here. You don't really mean what you say about yourself. You really don't expect us to keep your commandments. We really can do whatever we want and get away with it. Then what happens is God gives us over. And God gives us over to the lusts of our hearts. And consequently, we dishonor our bodies. But that's not the only thing. There's a progression here. And it says in verse 25, for they exchanged the truth of God for a lie. So first they exchanged the glory of God, of an incorruptible God, into an image. Then the second thing that they exchange is they exchange truth for a lie. And God gives them over again. Because they do this, it says, therefore, God gave them over to degrading passions. It says, for their women exchanged the natural function for that which is unnatural. And in the same way, men abandoned the natural function of the woman and burned in their desires toward one another. Men with men committing indecent acts, receiving in their own persons the due penalty of their error. So what does God give them over to? God gives them over to using, to turning away from the natural use of a woman. In other words, from the normal way to have sex, to a perverted way to have sex, to an unnatural way to have sex. For two men to come together and have sex, they have to do it in an unnatural way, and that unnatural way has led to a disease in the lungs, and it has led to AIDS. It's led to all sorts of terrible things. Why? What happens is they are not only dishonoring their bodies, but they are degrading their bodies. This is degradation. But that's not the end of it. And it says, and just as they did not see fit to acknowledge God any longer, they didn't want to acknowledge God any longer. They wanted to push him totally out of their minds. God gave them over to a depraved mind. Now watch, they close the door of their mind to God. I don't want to think about him. I don't want to talk about him. I don't want to know about him. I don't want you to mention him. I don't want to hear Jesus Christ on television. I don't want to hear God on television. I don't want to pick up anything. You Christians, go home, stay in your own four walls. Don't tell me anything about God. The minute that you close your mind to God, the minute that you slam those doors shut, do you know what happens? God gives you over to a depraved mind. The King James Version of the Bible calls it a reprobate mind. This is a mind that has no absolutes. This is a mind that has no restraints. This is a mind that goes wherever it wants to go, and it goes down a very dark, dark path. And listen to the result of it. Listen carefully. It says, and God gave them over. And you want to mark that again, because this is the third God gave them over. God gave them over to a depraved mind to do, watch the word, to do those things which are not proper. What is God saying? God's saying this, that there are things that are proper and there are things that are not proper. You go to the malls. You see the way the kids are dressed. Are they properly dressed? A friend of mine said that he went as a board member to a Christian camp. And this Christian camp was having a big, big event in order to attract kids to the gospel of Jesus Christ. And he said, when I went to that camp and I saw those girls, he said, I thought it's going to be a miracle if they're not raped before they leave here. What is the problem? The problem is that we end up with a depraved mind, a reprobate mind, a mind that has no absolutes, a mind that has no restraints. And so watch what it says. And they, being filled with all unrighteousness, not only do they do the things which are not proper, but they're filled with all unrighteousness. You're right. You've got it. There's that word unrighteousness there. We need to mark it again. Being filled with all unrighteousness, wickedness, greed, evil, full of envy, murder, strife, deceit, malice. This is what they're filled with. Then it says they are, and this is what they are. They are gossips, slanders, haters of God, insolent, arrogant, boastful, inventors of evil, disobedient to parents, without understanding. This is what they're lacking. They're without understanding. They're untrustworthy. They are unloving. They are unmerciful. In other words, they can do cruel things to other people, and it doesn't even bother them. Their consciences are absolutely seared. Why? Because they have shut their minds to God. They have blocked God out. There's no fear of God. There's no respect of God. There's no trust of God. There's no holy trembling before a holy God. Why? Because they have totally blocked him out of their minds, and therefore they have a reprobate mind. They have a mind that has no restraints. These are the things that they do. These are the things that they are filled with. These are the things that they are, and these are the things that they are lacking. Let me say it again. They're without understanding. They're untrustworthy. They're unloving. They don't even have natural affections. They don't have natural affections for their parents. They don't have natural affections for their siblings. They are unmerciful. But listen to this. This is the end of this chapter. And this is a terrible, terrible indictment upon this culture. It says, and although they know the ordinance of God. In other words, they have that God consciousness inside of them. Although they know the ordinances of God, that they not only do the same, but they give hearty approval to those who practice them. In other words, what do? They applaud them. They say, hey, that's great. They laugh. They carry on. There's no one that stands up and says, wait a minute, you have crossed the line. Wait a minute, you have gone too far. A missionary in China was reading Romans chapter 1 to a group of Chinese. And when he got through, an indignant Chinese man came up to him and came up to another person that was by the platform. And he said, this is not right. Let me quote to you what he said. This foreign devil shouldn't have come here. He should not have found out these things about us. He should not have written them in that book. He says, how did he know this about us? And what gave him the right to write it in a book and then to read it to us publicly? You see, the Word of God is like a mirror. We read it, we look at it, and we see ourselves. We either see a beautiful reflection of what God intended man to be, or we see a terrible, terrible distortion. And what you see in Romans chapter 1, doesn't it describe where we are in the United States of America today? Doesn't it describe what's going on in our society? We're looking at things in our society that we are condoning that we once said was against the law. It was once against the law in over half of the states of the United States of America for a man to sleep with a man. It was against the law. Lesbianism was against the law. Adultery was against the law. Nudity was against the law. Child pornography was against the law. Abortion was against the law. Immodesty in public was against the law. It was against the law on television. About 30 plus years ago, for a man and a woman, a husband and wife, to be filmed in the same bed together. Ozzie and Harriet could not sleep in the same bed together. They had to have twin beds. Why? Because we had a fear of God, because there were people that would stand up and say, I'm sorry, but this is wrong. You see, Hollywood was ready to go the gamut. And then the Roman Catholic Church rose up and said, oh no, this cannot be. And so the Roman Catholic Church and others came together to form a group of censors. Yes, we don't like the term censorship, do we? But they formed a group of censors that would keep America moral. And then you know what? That group of censors finally just walked away. They thought their job was done. And you know what? It took us deep, deep, deep into sin and into the judgment of God. And our society is where it is morally right now, because we have turned away from honoring God as God, and God has given us up. We'll talk about it more after the break.
Hey, Have you ever wanted to go someplace just to get away and you couldn't? Something was stopping you. It was the children, or it was the family, or it was finances, or it was just time. Well, we've got good news for you. We're going to have a women's conference, and we're going to webcast part of that women's conference. I'm so excited because I get to teach you, and our subject is Help, Lord. Help. I need peace. I need understanding. I need hope. So I want to invite you, as an individual in your home or with a group of women or in your church, to get together and to sign up for our webcast. I hear that it's almost as good as being there. That's October 21st and 22nd.
So what happens when a society, when a people forget God, when they don't honor Him as God, when they shut Him out of their thinking, when they exchange truth for a lie? We saw it, but let me summarize it. They go into their lust. They go into their immorality. And that adultery that they go into dishonors their bodies. Then from there, they go into homosexuality and lesbianism. And what is that called? It's called degrading passions. They degrade themselves. Why? Because they leave the natural, what God ordained, and they substitute the unnatural. A man leaves the natural use of a woman and goes to a man and has sex with him instead. A woman goes to another woman. She leaves the natural use of a man, and she goes to another woman instead. And when they go to each other, they cannot have sex in a natural way. You know, two lesbians can never have a child. They can never produce a child. And two homosexuals can never produce a child. This is why they want to adopt them. Now, I know that so many people are into homosexuality and they're into lesbianism because they've been hurt, because they've been wounded, because they've been introduced to sex in an unnatural way, because they've been molested as a child. I know that. I know that they didn't have a good father figure. I know that they didn't have a good mother figure. And I know that many of them are saying, listen, I was just born this way. Listen, you were not born that way. You were born a sinner, and a sinner is capable of these kind of actions. But you were not born an adulterer. You were not born a homosexual. You were not born a lesbian. You were born a sinner. And this is the consequences of sin. And that ought to be such wonderful news for you. And it ought to be wonderful news for you because it means then that you don't have to live this way. Do you know that there's more violence among homosexual couples and lesbians than there is among heterosexual couples? And I think it's really because what has happened is we've shut out God, because we've turned our backs on God. And where does it all lead to? It leads to a depraved mind that cannot see right and wrong, that has no values, that says, you know, whatever I want to do. It leads to masochism. It leads to sadism. It leads to pedophilia. It leads to sex with children. It leads to all sorts of things that are just a matter of a depraved mind. And when you look at it, just stop and think. Think about all the kids today, the teenagers, that are having oral sex. One of my friends told me that his son goes to a Christian school. And they were on an outing on this Christian school. And his son said, Dad, we were on that bus and the girls were performing oral sex on the guys. This is a depraved mind. This is a mind without restraints. And they think it's all right. And they don't even call it sex. That's why I wrote the book I did, Sex According to God. We've got to know what the Bible says about the subject of sex. We have to understand it from A to Z because God has a lot to say about it. And to know what He says is liberating. But here are these kids caught in bondage. I picked up a U.S. News and World Report titled Sex and Teens. And when I opened that article, it talked about a doctor and the teens were coming to them with sore throats. They thought they had strep throat. They had gonorrhea of the throat. God says that we receive in ourselves the due penalty of our error. When Paul wrote this, he was writing to a society that is just like ours. He was writing during the time of the Roman Empire. Remember, it was 57 to 58 AD when he wrote this. Well, let me tell you some of the things about the Roman Empire that you might want to, that you might find very useful. And they come out of this book, Under the Influence, How Christianity Transforms Civilization. The civilization that we're living in today wants to get rid of Christianity. They don't want to hear anything about God or Jesus Christ, and yet they don't realize what Christianity did for civilization, how it elevated women to a place that they had never been elevated to, how it took care of the poor and how it took care of the sick, and how it moved in and changed the educational system, and all for the better. And how it changed the morals. But listen to what was going on in the Roman society. After the Punic Wars in 146 BC, Rome started to go down morally. It became so immoral that Caesar Augustus in 18 BC enacted a law that tried to curb people's addiction to illicit sex. But the law did not work. Then you come along and you read that marriage was detested as a disagreeable necessity. Since people had become obsessed with sex, marital unions were very short-lived. Does that sound like us today? Of course it does. Juvenal, when he wrote his satire, number 6, he portrayed the sexually loose morals of women who lecherously gave themselves to gladiators, actors, comedians, and others who were in the public spotlight. Does that sound like today? Of course it sounds like today. You listen to MTV, you listen to that channel, and what do they tell you? They'll have many rock stars on, and they'll tell about all their one-night stands with all these girls. And they laugh at about how they got away with it. And then you come and you read about Ovid, who was another writer of those days. And he notes that female and male sexual relationships had become sadistic and masochistic. In one of his books, he reveals how many heterosexual, how heterosexual love had turned into a type of sport. And then Catullus, a Roman poet, refers to his fellow Romans practicing group sex. Is all that going on? Yes, it's going on. Some cities, that's their entertainment. That's their entertainment. And they think nothing of it. It's exactly what Romans describes. It's a reprobate mind. The biographer of emperors tells about Tiberius, who had nude women who waited on the tables when he dined. He also had male and female prostitutes openly engage in group sex as entertainment for his pleasure. Caligula in 37 to 41 A.D., Tiberius's successor, lived a licentious sex life and was given to habitual incest with all his sisters. Then you come to Titus. Titus is the one that conquered Jerusalem in 70 A.D., and he liked to surround himself with catamites. Now, catamites are simply boys that act as concubines and eunuchs, apparently for sexual enjoyment. And then you find Commodus, the emperor, from 180 to 192 A.D. He had a harem of 300 concubines with whom he lived a life of sexual debauchery. Then you come down and you see that one historian said that the Romans did not, there was nothing in which the Romans did not indulge or which they thought was a disgrace. What is he describing? He's describing the reprobate mind, the depraved mind. that has no absolutes, that is just filled with sin, that is just taken deeper and deeper and deeper into sin, so that all they want to do is find someone else who is just like them because it condones their sin. And then they give hearty approval to that, even though deep in their hearts they know that they are worthy of death. And do you know what? Death awaits them. Wrath awaits them. We're going to see the judgment of God next week. We're going to look at it, and we're going to see what the judgment of God is like. But let me just say that it talks about the plays that they went to. So just think of television, or think of movies, and in substitute of these shocking, dumb shows threw women into ecstasy. Now, what were these shows? Well, sometimes they showed a woman having sex with an animal on stage. It was filled with crude sexual gestures that the actors would make, and it threw the women into ecstasy. It says that these plays went on during the reigns of Nero. Nero was 54 to 68 A.D. So it's right during the time when Paul is writing this. And what do you find? You find as you go on that legend says that Tiberius, the emperor under whose rule Christ was crucified, often surrounded himself with young boys whom he used sexually. Nero had at least two boys with whom he engaged in sexual acts. And Hadrian was the one that persecuted Christians so greatly. He's the one who built Hadrian's Wall across northern England. But he had numerous affairs, not only with women, but also with a young man that he kept as his paramour. Rome, the United States of America, we're both the same, aren't we? You've seen it. It's written in history, and it's being written in our history. Why? It's because men do not honor God as God. Oh, precious one, that's why we're studying the Word of God, so that you can know truth, so that you can know God, so that you can honor God as God, so that you can live by faith, so that you can be righteous, and so that you, in turn, can shed light in the midst of this crooked and dark and perverse generation.
Thank you for watching today. All the programs you see on Precepts for Life are available on CD and DVD. To order your copy of today's program, log on to our website at preceptsforlife.com. To download your free copy of the study guide or to find out more about Precept Ministries International, click on our website or call us today at 1-800-763-1990. Join us for our next program as Kay shares more Precepts for Life.